Okay, we are continuing our study in the scriptures on the section in Ephesians that deals with the armor of God, and we're utilizing William Gurnall and his books on the Christian in complete armor. And we're not quoting everything verbatim, but we're trying to seek to have an outline for the week to reflect on and to work through these things together. And so you'll notice at the top of your sheet that this is the part two of an admonition to appropriate the power of His might. Last week, we were in that part one, and we went through four main points. What does Paul mean by the power of His might was the first point. How do I get that power for myself was the second. Three reasons for trusting in God's power, the third. And then we ended with the fourth point, these indissoluble bonds that secure God's power, His might, on our behalf. So those were the four main points there, and we've got two that you see here. The fifth point, 5a, occasions for using God's power, and then the sixth point, four reasons why God's power is sometimes hidden. So we're going to take a look at that today. But if you notice, you see that there's a number of bullet points under the title and admonition to appropriate the power of His might. And that's by way of preface. Gurnall does this. He has a section here before he gets into five, this fifth main point. He seems to go on for a few pages here to really set the stage for occasions for using God's power and why it might sometimes be hidden from us. So let's take a look at that first sentence then under the title. He writes, once you realize that God omnipotent is in charge of your life, you will quit worrying about how to fight your enemies. No assault is strong enough to overpower Him, and nothing can penetrate your front lines without His permission. So we have the Lord on our side. And there's nothing for us to fear. It's God omnipotent who is with us. It's God that is helping us in our personal life and in those relationships that we have in our family, in the church, and in the community. So we have the Lord on our side, and then we've got a number of these bullet points that I have here, and I just want to refer to a couple of these things. The first one, the devil couldn't attack Job. He was restrained until God removed the hedge protecting him. So let's look at that in Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. In verse 8, we read here in God's word, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. The point being that the devil couldn't attack Job until God removed the hedge that was protecting him. Unbelievers, we see, are often unaware of the strength that believers do possess, like Job. They directly attack believers, thinking that they're just ordinary men, and they're completely oblivious to the supply line that God gives us from heaven. So unbelievers are unaware, and the devil is restrained. We see a third bullet point there. Pharaoh deceived. He thought he had Israel trapped. Remember, Israel has left Egypt, and they go wandering in a certain direction, and it makes Pharaoh think, oh, they're confused. They don't know the land. So now I'm going to gain them back. Why have we let them go? Why have we lost our servants? And so he thought that he had Israel trapped at the Red Sea, but it was exactly what God wanted to happen so that he might display his awesome power on behalf of Israel. He stepped between Israel and the Egyptians while Israel escaped through the Red Sea. And he saved Israel and he destroyed Israel's enemies. So this is some way where God shows that no one is strong enough to overpower him. No one can penetrate his front lines without his permission. So we need not be full of worry when we're assailed by our enemies. We see the next point here. The Israelites were sustained. They get to the other side. The sea closes on the Egyptians. Now they're in the wilderness. They had no roof over their heads. They had no trade, no tillage for 40 years. And yet, according to Deuteronomy chapter 8, they didn't beg from neighbor nations. They didn't rob from them either. God supplied their needs. You can see in that next point, Joshua at Jericho, David versus Goliath, and on. So, Joshua at Jericho. The armies of Israel would not have been able to take Jericho. It had high walls. It looked impenetrable. God caused those walls to tumble down and his people to take the city. God's might didn't fail David when he fought against Goliath. Goliath appeared to be greater, the one who was going to win this contest, win this battle. It's the same thing for us. We face Jerichos, we face Goliaths, and it's the same power that is with us. There's an example here that speaks of the demon possessed there in Mark chapter 5. That's when the Lord goes into this region of the Gadarenes and this demon-possessed man comes out. And it's not just one unclean spirit in the man. It's a legion of unclean spirits. And yet with just one word, the Lord casts those out into the herd of swine and they go over the cliff and drown in the sea. And that last bullet point then, is God any weaker today? Gernal says here at this point, God so loves his saints. He will move the earth to bring comfort to his people, the ones that he loves. And the bold-faced sinner goes away begging. So, here are occasions then for using God's power. He notes three things under this heading. Occasions for using it when we're weighed down by sin. And then a second thing that he notes, occasions for using God's power is when we are overpowered by temptation. And then that third point under this occasion for using God's power, he says, when we are oppressed by Christian duty. These are the times when we should specifically look to God for strength, for his almighty power. Let's look at that first point under this head then, when weighed down by sin. No sin is powerful enough to overwhelm our God. Cannot overwhelm God's strength. One almighty is greater than many mighties. And even when his own people have backslidden from him, he still uses his almighty power to draw them back to himself with mercy and grace. Speaks about that in Hosea chapter 11. My people are bent on backsliding. And then he goes on to say, but how can I give you up? I will draw you in love to myself. If we truly belong to him, we will experience the almightiness of his mercy. We know that God has power to pardon if he so chooses, but there is great comfort for believers in knowing that his mercy and his pardon rests in his everlasting covenant in Christ. Isaiah 55. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David. He's speaking of Christ there. He's speaking of the everlasting covenant we have in Christ. That new covenant we celebrated earlier today in the Lord's Supper. Then he says in 6 and 7, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. There it is. It's abundant mercy. It's abundant grace. It's an abundant pardon. All because we run to him. Do you run to him? So when Satan terrifies us with awful accusations, we can say with confidence, it is God and no other who justifies me. He's the one that declares me righteous in Christ by faith in him. That's where we speak against the devil. And we speak the glories of Christ to him. So when weighed down by sin, that's an occasion to use God's power. When overpowered by temptation, that's your 2B. When overpowered by temptation. He says, are you worrying about falling to temptation? If you are, grab hold of God's strength right now and reinforce yourself to resist. Believe that you will be victorious in Christ's strength because he's the Almighty. And your Father in heaven watches closely, and even your cries will bring him running to your defense, just like if a mother had children out in the parking lot or the backyard and suddenly we hear, you know, the babies cry out and shout out, and the mothers go, they're running. And he says it's just like that with God. God comes running to defend his children. Let me go to this third point here. When oppressed by Christian duty, are you sick of your work and ready to run away like Jonah? Sick of your duty, tired of it, worn out. He says, encourage yourself with God's word as he spoke to Gideon in Judges chapter 6. Go in this thy might. I have sent thee. This is your strength. This is your strength that I have sent you. And because I have sent you, I'm not going to abandon you. I'm going to fit you out to be victorious in this battle. So whatever it is that you're struggling with, God can fit us out to overcome it. All of these trials, all of these tribulations, we can overcome it. We can overcome it day by day. We lean on the Lord. We learn how to trust in him. and say, God, I give this to you. I have no power. I can't overcome this. Only you can give me victory here. And we learn how to be transparent with God and give these things up to Him and say to Him, I need your help. I'm so dependent on you. God, in a sense, is really breaking us of our independency. This idea that we can do it all ourselves. Or we can maybe we can do these things here. God, you take care of the big things, I'll take care of the little things. That's not God's way. So begin the work that God has given you, and you will engage His strength for you. If you run from it, His strength will be against you. We saw that with Jonah. I mean, the Lord will send a storm. He'll send one thing or another after you. Engage the Lord's strength on your behalf. He says, are you called to suffer? Don't shrink back in fear. God knows your limit. He says, remember 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, above all things, that God is able to help us in all of our temptations by helping us to bear up under it, because He is present. The Almighty One is present with you. He will help you to bear it. He provides ways of escape from all of the temptations that are facing you. Cast all of your care upon the Lord, because He does care for you. And then this last point that we're looking at here, last main point in this chapter, four reasons why God's power is sometimes hidden. He says, some dejected soul might say here, but you know, I have prayed over and over and over again for strength against this temptation, and to this day, I can't quit it. My hands are weak. No matter how hard I try, I can't resist this temptation. If God's power is really engaged on my behalf, then why am I so weak? Why do I always give in? He says there's four reasons why this may happen. The first thing is this. You see this on your first B point. You may have overlooked God's power. You may have overlooked God's power. Maybe you expected sudden relief, but all you did was pray more earnestly, more fervently. And he says, isn't this a demonstration of God's power on your behalf? When you seek the Lord like Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat was surrounded by enemies and was threatened with being overrun and destroyed. And Jehoshaphat then set to deny himself until he heard a word from the Lord. He said, is that kind of self-denial self-generated? Or is it not God humbling you and causing you to deny yourself, to hear a word from Him? How He is speaking to you in that situation. God is doing the work in you in a way that you are not looking for. So you may have overlooked it altogether. You were expecting it in one way. God was doing it and you were completely oblivious to it. The spiritual strength that you need to overcome your temptations. You want instant relief and He's giving you something better. He's building you up inside. He's giving you more faith. He's giving you a resiliency that you didn't have before. He said, we don't think in those categories. We don't look that way. We're looking for something that will just alleviate the circumstance. And so you may have overlooked God's power. This thorn in the flesh at times, it humbles us. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. It humbled him. He was seeking God's relief in a particular way. And what did he say to Paul about that thorn? My grace is sufficient for you. Why was the thorn given? So that he wouldn't be puffed up with pride. Look at me. I mean, God speaks to me. And so it was to kill that fleshly pride within him. And yet Paul was laid low by this thorn in the flesh and wanted it removed. And it wasn't removed. But what was given in its place? Something he hadn't seen before. Grace. You heard God say, my grace is sufficient for. And maybe the same thing is happening to you. You've got a thorn in the flesh or two, and you want God to take it away from you. I mean, you'd be so much better. You'd be a happier servant, a better servant, whatever you want to lay out before the Lord. But God says, I'm not taking it away because it keeps you humble and dependent on me. It keeps you depending on my grace. That's the first thing. The second thing he says here, God may have purposely delayed his power. That's the 2B under this point. God may have purposely delayed his power. When you've waited as long as you are willing to wait and God still hasn't answered, don't let your impatience accuse God of negligence. He knows what you need. He's not being negligent to you. He knows what's best for you even before you ask him. Matthew 6, verse 8, write that one down. Your Father knows what you need even before you ask him. So when God doesn't answer, it's not because he's being negligent. Sometimes your faith needs to grow stronger. Stronger in the things of the Lord, like the little toddlers we have, you know, running around here. They weren't born running. They rolled around and they got their legs under them and they got stronger and daddy or mommy helped them along. And then as they learned how to walk and the legs got stronger, they let go of their hands and let them fall, but picked them back up again and let them strengthen the legs. And Grinnell says, you know, it's just like that. We need to do the same thing. We need to have strong legs of faith to be able to overcome our temptations, our trials. Faith needs strong legs to walk in the Spirit so as not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Sometimes our faith needs to grow stronger, and that's why God has delayed his power. Sometimes he uses overwhelming trials to demonstrate his great power on our behalf. It's just like the disciples who were in the boat and they were being tossed by the storm in Matthew 8. They were on the sea. They were threatened with being drowned, with the boat being swamped and overturned because the wind had whipped up the waves so much. And they cry out to the Lord, Lord, don't you care? And he gets up and rebukes the wind and the waves are calm. And what does he say to them? He says, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Why are you fearful? You need more faith. And it's the same thing with us. Sometimes we've got storms that are against us, relations that are against us, and we feel like we're going to be swamped and drowned because of it. Problems that we have with people that we love. Loved ones like spouses. Loved ones like children. Loved ones like parents. Right? And when we think we're going to be drowned with all of the things that are going on, these storms of life. And yet we can't be little faith people. We've got to look to the Lord and cry out to him and depend upon him. The third thing he points out here is the cause of hindrance of the blessing may be in yourself. It may be in yourself. If your heart is not right, if it's not set in the right direction, when you seek God's deliverance, strength won't come. So you have to lay yourself open and bare before the Lord. You have to be transparent before God. Do you really trust Him? Are you really trusting Him and Him alone to meet your need? Or are you depending on your own strength, your own resolve, or some other outside source of strength? You need to be like the woman who pressed through the crowd, the woman who had this flow of blood for 12 years, and she would press herself through the crowd to get to Jesus, just to touch the hem of His garment. It said in that section there, in Luke chapter 8, it says that the crowd was pressing in on Jesus, and she was pressing harder. She was trying to get to Him just to touch the hem, because she knew if she touched the hem of His garment, she would be healed. Her faith to get to Him is the kind of faith that we need to have. We need to have our hearts set in the right direction. We need to see Christ, and Christ is everything. So are we really trusting Him? Are we really thankful for the strength that we already possess? Everyone runs at a different pace in a long-distance race. And so you and I might get really discouraged because people are passing us by. I mean, we're falling behind. We're getting tired, we're getting weaker, and everybody is passing us. And that might give us discouragement, but be thankful that you have the strength to even run the race at all. It's God's grace alone that gives you that strength. And everyone who finishes the race is a winner. Everyone. Even the weakest sinner saved by grace. Even last place. We are called to persevere in our faith, to finish the race. 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul talks about finishing the race, and there's a crown laid up for him. And then in Hebrews 12, we're to run with endurance. And then another thing under this cause of hindrance that might be in ourselves is pride. Has pride stopped the flow of God's power? Because God will not keep supplying it if you use it for your own advancement. How quickly you'll be taken away from Him on the wings of pride. I only need to think about Hezekiah and his example. He's sick unto death, and Isaiah comes in and tells him, get your house in order. 2 Kings 20, you read the account. Get your house in order. And Hezekiah is just stricken. So he humbles himself before the Lord, and he prays. He turns to the wall on a sick bed, and he prays to the Lord. And the Lord answers his prayer, brings the prophet back in, and he's healed, and his life extended for 15 years. That's the word of the Lord through Isaiah. And then after that, we see that Hezekiah, his heart was lifted up in pride when the Babylonian envoys visited him. He showed them all the treasures of his house. Look at what I've got. And so the Lord sent Isaiah back and said, look at all that you'll lose. Terrible consequences for pride. So is it pride that is hindering God's blessing? Is it an unthankful spirit? Is it not trusting Him? And then finally he says here at the end, this fourth point, God may call you to persevere in the face of overwhelming odds. And he closes this chapter by saying that perhaps none of these things fit your case. Your heart is clean before God. You have sincerely and prayerfully waited upon the Lord, but the Lord continues to withhold his hand. Resolve, therefore, to live and die waiting, for that may be the very thing that he requires. Resolve to live and die waiting, because that may be the very thing that God requires. Persevere to the end. And there's no greater evidence of God's grace at work in you. We go back to Job. Job was one of our opening examples. Job was not delivered until God's purpose was served. They that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. It doesn't say they might renew their strength. It says they that wait on the Lord, they shall. There's a definiteness there. They shall renew their strength. So let us put all of our hope in Him. Let's not overlook His power. Let's not be upset when it seems as if He's purposely delayed it. Let's check ourselves in the mirror. Are we trusting Him? Are we thankful? Are we humble? We need to ask God to help us persevere to the very end. These things that are sometimes causing God's power to be hidden from us. So that takes us to the end then of this section here. Next week we'll open a different section as he moves forward in this. Let's close and ask God's blessing on us.